Breaking news today on Jay Sekulow Live. Attorney General Barr has authorized investigations pursuing, quote, substantial allegations of voting irregularities. We'll talk about that and more today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
No states have yet certified their election results. We have at least one or two states that are already on track for a recount. The core principle here is not complicated. In the United States of America, all legal ballots must be counted. Any illegal ballots must not be counted. The process should be transparent or observable by all sides, and the courts are here to work through concerns.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
We have the system in place to consider concerns, and President Trump is 100% within his rights to look into allegations of irregularities and weigh his legal options.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. So you see Republican leader Mitch McConnell standing with President Trump and the legal challenges. We've also seen, just out of the case out of Pennsylvania that's at the Supreme Court, and I think this is important to note for everyone on the broadcast, and Dad, this is key as they started coming in. That case has now been joined by the Ohio Attorney General, Kentucky's Attorney General, Missouri's, Oklahoma, Alabama, Florida, Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, South Carolina, Texas, and South Dakota have all joined in on that lawsuit about the fact that it was a judge and not the legislature that changed when votes could be counted.
So if you look at the issue of what's at stake in these various pieces of litigation, the one in Pennsylvania I think is extremely significant because not just for how it impacts what happened in Pennsylvania, but actually how it impacts the role of the courts and the legislature and separation of powers intergovernment, even within intrastate, in a state itself. So the Constitution says very clearly, unequivocally, that the state legislatures will determine the various methods of how the election will take place. Here you had a court usurp the authority of the legislature. The legislature did make changes to the election process. They allowed for mail-in ballots. They allowed it to come in as late as Tuesday, the election day at 8 o'clock. So these were things that the state legislature actually voted on and did. The problem here, I think, and what makes this so significant, is that the legislature was usurped by the courts. And that's what we have pending right now across the street in that particular lawsuit. And Andy went through the briefs yesterday that were filed, and they are comprehensive. And they're filed, by the way, and they each have kind of a different view on how that should be, what their positions are. For instance, Ohio says in their brief, we allow, we extended our dates, we did all these things, but what we're concerned about is the constitutional issue at stake as it relates to separation of powers. Andy?
Yeah, the brief that was filed by the Attorney General of Missouri that was joined into by nine other states was one of the most finest pieces of work that I have read. I'm very impressed with it. And he says in the brief, joined by these other jurisdictions, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court's decision in this case created a window of time for unscrupulous actors to wait until and see until after election day whether the outcome would be close enough, both in Pennsylvania and in the nation as a whole, to make attempting fraud worthwhile. And that's exactly the point, I think, that was made and similarly made in the Ohio jurisdiction case as well.
All right, folks.
So I think what these cases show, Jordan, is that we need to leave these matters to the legislature and the courts need to stay out of them.
Absolutely.
Except when a lower court makes the mistake that they did here and usurped its authority, and then judicial review is necessary.
Right. To kick it back out and say, hey, this is the legislature's job, not the court's jobs, to limit their own power. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Share this broadcast with your friends and family. If you want to know about these ongoing legal battles, this is the place to get it from the president's legal team. Share now. And it's a matching challenge month at ACLJ. Double the impact of your donation at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow, my dad in Washington, D.C., joined by Andy Economo. And the breaking news, too, last night was that the Attorney General of the United States, Attorney General Bill Barr, has announced that he has instructed his U.S. attorneys to begin a review of voting, and he called it serious irregularities into those reviews. He wrote, "Now that the voting has concluded, it is imperative that the American people can trust that our elections were conducted in such a way that outcomes accurately reflect the will of the voters." He goes on to say, "Given that voting in our current elections has now concluded, I authorize you," that's the U.S. attorneys, "to pursue," and this is key, "substantial allegations of voting and vote tabulation irregularities prior to the certification of elections in your jurisdiction in certain cases, as I have already done in specific instances." Now, this is also important because it goes to kind of limits so that it's not like these U.S. attorneys are doing this in all 50 states. He says this, "Such inquiries and reviews may be conducted if there are clear and apparently credible allegations of irregularities that, if true," this is key, "could potentially impact the outcome of a federal election in an individual state." So, Dad, right there, he's instructing his U.S. attorneys. You look at the states that could sway the outcome. We call it outcome-determinative states. That's where the U.S. attorneys should be looking. So now you've got the Trump campaign. You've got the RNC. You have the president's legal team. You have states' attorney generals on the Republican side. And now you also have the U.S. Department of Justice and their U.S. attorneys looking at the irregularities and potential wrongdoing in both vote counting and tabulation.
Yeah, and what Bill Barr said is it's got to be serious, it's got to be credible, and it makes sense to empower the U.S. attorneys to look at these issues because, and you were the acting U.S. attorney for Atlanta, for the Northern District of Georgia, because you have the resources there on a local basis to engage it, to look at it, to determine if, in fact, there is a serious violation. That's what the key is.
That's exactly right. The United States attorneys are basically federal district attorneys, analogous to a state district attorney that operate in a judicial district. In this case, the United States has, I think, 98 United States attorneys throughout the country, and they have the resources through the FBI, through other agencies of the federal government to do these investigations. If they see claims of irregularity that, if true, as Jordan said, and he quoted the Attorney General correctly, if true, would clearly impact the outcome of election. Otherwise, defer it till after the election and the certification process is completed. So this, if it is outcome determinative, what Attorney General Barr says, and he's perfectly right in saying, doing what he says. In writing this memorandum to the United States attorneys and the assistant AGs in the criminal division and the FBI agents as well. Take a look at things that are outcome determinative. Use your resources. Ensure the fairness and the integrity of the election and do it now.
The one thing I do want to say, Jordan, though, I want our audience to understand, our ACLJ members to understand that, look, this is not, I said this yesterday, I'm going to say it again, this is a Herculean task. On behalf of the lawyers that are involved in litigating this and raising the constitutional issues and the people on the ground in the various states. I mean, we look at it at the Supreme Court level, but you've got all these state court or proceedings in the states in Michigan, Arizona, Pennsylvania, and so far not any litigation, it doesn't appear, right now in Georgia. A very close race there, but there are, you know, this is a lot to overcome. So I want everybody to be realistic. You got to run this down because that's, I think, that's a constitutional obligation, is to make sure to the best of your ability it was fair, it was honest. If it wasn't, that needs to be pointed out. But at the end, like I said yesterday, a lot of dominoes have to fall in place for our neighbors here at the Supreme Court to make the determination that they're going to engage the case. The Pennsylvania case is up there. The stay that was issued by Justice Alito is still in effect. I know there was a lot of rumors running around yesterday about something happening last night. So far, nothing has happened. There's been no additional orders. What has happened is there's been a bevy of briefs. Andy's been reviewing those, and a number of other lawyers have reviewed them. There's been a lot of briefs filed with our position by a number of states. I think we're up to like 13 states. But the it's hard for me to believe that these determinations, if it does, in fact, if the dominoes did line up, that a federal court judge or the Third Circuit Court of Appeals is going to be the final arbiter of what happens here. I think if it gets that far, it's going to be the Supreme Court of the United States making that call if the case gets up. We've got it up there, and we've got a call coming in this one. We probably should take it on line six.
Yeah, let's go to John in Florida on line six. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110, and I encourage you, share this broadcast with your friends and family. You're not going to get an hour breaking this down anywhere else. Rick Rennell, a special advisor to the ACLJ, also be joining us. He's been in the midst of all of this as well. Hey, John, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, I just had a question. If this Pennsylvania three-day extension is ruled unconstitutional, how many votes actually came in after Election Day or after that 8 p.m.? How many votes would be overruled or disregarded? What's the ballpark on that?
Yeah, so far we don't have a number. Well, we heard estimations as much as 50 or 60,000 votes.
Yep.
They're supposed to be counted separately, not part of the main counting. In other words, the numbers you're seeing are not supposed to include those. We have no verification, though, that ended up being the case. And there's no indication in the brief, Sandy, is there, how many?
No.
Yeah, so we don't really know. I mean, the Secretary of State of Pennsylvania could tell everybody. That ended Friday. Today is Tuesday. I mean, it's been over for a few days now. So you would think they could get in there and do something about that. But again, they're going to have to want to do something about that. I do think that, we're doing what you do. Just you take the cases out to their conclusion. Whatever the court decides, we're a country of laws. That will be the determination. That will be the decision. And that's what you may not agree with it, by the way, but that's the way it works in a constitutional republic. When the courts finally rule on these various allegations, if it comes out in favor of the president, that's great. If it does not come out in favor of the president, you have to abide by the law. That's the requirement of the Constitution. And we need to explain that any deeper. I will say it this way. If the Supreme Court of the United States is not the final arbiter in this from the legal challenges, who is? Who is? So that's the way our founders envisioned this situation to develop. And that's where I think this is going to be. I do think that there is a lot at stake here. But you also, Jordan, we should talk about this maybe in the latter part of the broadcast. You also have two Senate seats in Georgia that are up
that's right.
for re-elect. They were so close that they have to basically do the elections all over again.
Yeah,
I think the
full runoffs.
Election's January 5th because of the runoffs. So, yeah. I mean, you got a lot going on down there.
A lot going on. Two runoffs that will really predict the outcome of the U.S. Senate. Now, it's fairly clear that in Alaska, the Republican senator has won. So I think you can really give Republicans are at 49 right now. So they need to get to 51 because if Joe Biden was to be declared the winner. Remember, it would be Kamala Harris as vice president who would be the tie-breaking vote. If there was a 50-50 split, it means the control goes to Democrats. So even with the Alaska win of 49, you need the win, both wins in Georgia. So for Perdue to beat Ossoff and then for Kelly Loeffler to win her race as well, they'll both be voted on the same day. And I just think we're dead probably this week just starting to see the real full organization go there. The money that's going to be spent will be in the hundreds of millions of dollars. You got people like both Andrew sides, Yang on the Democrat side say, move to Georgia right now, establish residency, and vote just for this. So people are, the Democrats are actually encouraging moves like that to try and get more votes because they understand that this would be the balance of power. There would be none in Washington, D.C., only the courts. Because if the Senate were to go Democrat because of these two seats going Democrat, then you've got the White House, the House, and the Senate in the hands of Joe Biden, Pelosi, and Schumer.
Yeah, I think, look, this is the Senate seats. In
so
fact,
it should
in Georgia
energize
right now,
people.
In Georgia right now, with you're right, Andrew Yang saying move there. College professors are telling their students from out of state to change their residency to Georgia. I question whether that's valid with intent. You have to have a legal intent for residency, but you know that would be hard to prove one way or another, I guess. But they're going to look. They're going to try everything, and the Republicans better be aggressive too. And how their counter to that's going to be, because as you just said, Jordan, it's the future of the Senate's at stake. That's the check and balance in government.
Right.
That so there's is what, a lot riding on this. Would make Kamala Harris the senator, if she became the vice president, the most powerful woman in the United States.
Well, that's right.
Because
she would
if
cast
the Senate
the
was tied, she'd
vote.
Have it.
She would cast all the tie-breaking votes, which there would be a lot of in a 50-50 Senate divided that way. It means they would be able to get their most extreme nominees through in most cases. It means Green New Deal could be very likely. It means that tax hikes... you've got all those issues. I think they could get rid of the legislative filibuster because with the legislative filibuster, it would prevent a lot of that. But if they got rid of the legislative filibuster, as some have said, then you push through the Green New Deal, the tax hikes, the most extreme nominees, and you're able to do that. So again, we're also monitoring the Affordable Care Act case that's before the Supreme Court. Justice Barrett asked her first question. As a justice on the court, we'll have that for you. We come back in the next segment of the broadcast, and I'll be on Newsmax later talking about that case and the cases involving the president. That'll be on Sean Spicer's broadcast at 6 p.m. Rick Rennell joining us in the second half hour of the broadcast as well, and we'll continue to take your phone calls. Share it with your friends and family. Double the impact of your donation to the ACLJ. ACLJ.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. So we do have some sound, too, from the first case for Justice Amy Coney Barrett. This is the Affordable Care Act case. And her first questions as a U.S. Supreme Court justice. This case is zeroing in on whether the individual mandate, which was zeroed out by President Trump, but was done through executive action. So could it be brought back by a President Joe Biden? Yes, very quickly, unless the Supreme Court invalidates the individual mandate, which whether they say is severable from the rest of the law or not, kills the Affordable Care. We've already seen that. It doesn't work. President Trump's talked about how it's very difficult to keep it running, but they're doing as best as possible for the American people. But without the mandate, it really doesn't work, whether the Supreme Court says it's severable or not. But here is the first time you can hear Justice Barrett in this very controversial case on the Affordable Care Act, her first question.
What should we make of the fact that Congress didn't repeal the provision? I mean, you said earlier repeal, and then you corrected yourself and said zeroed out. I mean, you're asking us to treat it as if it functionally has been repealed, but that's not what Congress did. Does that matter?
Your Honor, I think Congress understood how this court had construed 5000A as a choice, and it understood that it would make the provision effectively inoperative to zero out the tax. And that was a reasonable thing for it to do. Obviously, it was operating under reconciliation procedures that allowed it to make the change compliant with the Byrd rule. And CBO had told it that there was no material difference between repealing the provision and zeroing out the tax.
And, Dad, what we heard from today, for those who are monitoring this, you know, there's a lot to monitor. Yeah, there's a McCabe hearing going on right now, the Senate Judiciary Committee. But that she was very active. You know, it kind of went by turn. It's still doing that phone method, yep. Dad, that we did right yes. from here in the studio that I'm in now. And so instead of a normal, if she was up there, it's her kind of her first case in the robes and you kind of have to jump in, they go by turn on phone. So it's like justice to.
Yeah,
so she
didn't,
so was that the same way it'd be like her jumping in on her first question ever kind of feeling because she was given time by the Chief Justice? Down They go
That's
down
right.
the
That's
line.
Exactly what we had when we argued those three cases back in May, same procedures being used. Look, she asked a really good question, a really deep question. I think that, you know, we'll get the result in that case probably in the next 4 or 5 months, and we'll see. Now, that depends on what happens with the Senate, what happens with the presidency. All of that will have an impact on how this moves forward. I mean, there are two different, very different views on how the Affordable Care Act should shape up. But again, this is where the Senate races in Georgia in particular are so significant. Now, Andy, you were down there, and this was very close. I mean, if you look at the differential, I mean, no one got over 50%.
No one. Under Georgia law, in order to prevail in a runoff, you've got to have 50% of the vote plus one vote, 50% plus one. And David Perdue, the incumbent United States Senator, was at 49 point something, but it was less than 50, and therefore he was put into a runoff with this John Ossoff character. Then you have multiple, there were about 35 people running in the Senate seat that is being currently held by Kelly Loeffler, and Doug Collins was part of that, Congressman Doug Collins. And therefore, no one got 50% plus one of the vote. Kelly Loeffler, I think, came out on top on that
yep.
one. But again, enough to create a runoff between her and Pastor Warnock of Ebenezer Baptist Church. So these are critical, critical elections in Georgia. We have got to prevail in those elections in order to keep the Senate in Republican control. I can imagine the horror that would exist if you had a House of Representatives under Pelosi. Think about this. a Senate run by Schumer who decides what bills come up, what votes are had, and when they're had. Think about that. And a presidency with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, the vice president, who Jordan mentioned would be in the chair breaking tie votes. In other words, it's a unitary government totally controlled by the Democrats. So I can't emphasize enough to those my fellow Georgians that this is a critical race in Georgia on January 5th between Kelly Loeffler and Pastor Warnock on the one side, and whoever wins that by whatever vote, it could be one vote, you win the race. There's no runoff there. And by David Perdue, the incumbent senator, and Ossoff, who is a confirmed Marxist, a socialist, a liberal, totally, on the other hand, running against the incumbent United States senator. Those are critical, critical races, Jordan and Jay.
And I will, yep. I will tell you too, Dabby, Georgia is still the smallest margin that Joe Biden has a lead in, only 12,000 votes, and it has not finished counting. There's still a percent of the vote out there, and a percent in a state that big with a number that low. I mean, again, they're going to the automatic recount. We know Congressman Doug Collins is overseeing that. That's one of those states you can actually look at and say, even if there's not legal action until the recount. Now, a lot of legal action can come out of recounts, Dad. And in fact, yes, that's where a lot of that happens. But also, you look at that number, those are the kind of numbers. You look there, you look at Arizona with 98, where recounts really can have an impact if they are done correctly.
No, you're 100% correct. I mean, I think the difficulty here, and I think this is the real difficulty in all of this, is we got to keep proceeding assuming these things line up, because right, you're not going to know for sure. And you may not know for sure for weeks. So this process could go on for another couple of weeks, could go on to the end of November. Bush versus Gore was, I think, 37 days until that was resolved. So it's not like we don't have a history of this. We do. And you find out. I mean, look, in the early 1800s, it would take a month to tabulate this information and get it around, in weeks, certainly. But I think it was somebody, I read somewhere, it was like the Jefferson-Adams race, it was like 90 days until they could certify it. Yeah. I mean, it's just the way it is, until the electors actually met.
A good question for you. Jennifer in Florida, online 5. Hey, Jennifer, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. And also, I just want to say I'm so thankful that you guys are all so involved in this election mess. It's definitely very concerning. And my question is, just as the average American, what can we do? I know we can financially support, but what else can we do, or what else should we be doing?
Well, you should be praying for justice to prevail and for the equities to be the way they're supposed to be. Look, God's in control of this. We're not. What do we do? We do the legal part that we're assigned. My focus right now, our team's focus, ACLJ's focus, our private practice focus is on the constitutional issues. When they get to this level, you've got good lawyers in the states. You got to rely on them.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, that's exactly right. What you got to do right now is pray. There's nothing else that you can do but pray and hope. And in Georgia, vote. In the runoff election, that it is critical. Two things are critical. One, that the presidency is properly elected, the electors. Remember, we elect electors. We don't have a popular vote for the presidency. We elect people who elect the president. That process has got to have been properly entered into. And that's what Ohio and these other jurisdictions are seeking the Supreme Court to do in the Pennsylvania case. And so that's one of the important things that you can do, is stay tuned and stay knowledgeable about what you do to make sure that the constitutional mandate is fulfilled.
That's a good it's a good reason also to look at our video put up on our Bald Beagle Kids channel, because there's a whole thing on the Electoral College. Great for parents too. Really great for parents as well. And it's there at YouTube. Just type in Bald Beagle and there's one on the Electoral College.
Absolutely. Check baldbeagle.com or youtube.com/baldbeagle and support the work of the ACLJ. Our matching challenge, double your impact, ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. So you got a hearing ongoing right now. Former FBI Deputy Director McCabe, that was delayed because of COVID. You've got the Affordable Care Act case really focusing specifically on the individual mandate. And we've heard for the first time Justice Amy Coney Barrett. But, of course, where America's attention, I know much of your attention, I encourage you to share this broadcast with your friends and family, is on these legal challenges that are just beginning, and I say just beginning because they are, from the Trump campaign, from the RNC, from the various entities like the president's legal team as well, and how we are monitoring at the Supreme Court level. That's kind of our role. But we're also joined right now by our special advisor for national security and foreign policy, Rick Rennell. Rick, you've been in Nevada. You've been all over the country since the election. Give people an update from your perspective.
Well, first of all, we have to remember that this race has not been certified. It's not been even to the point where all votes have been counted. We've got tens of thousands of votes in Nevada that still need to be counted. This race is not official. And so we have to remember, too, Jordan, that it's been 1 week. Al Gore conceded December 15th. And so we've got a long way to go to count the votes. Anyone who is trying to project the winner without counting all the votes, I think, is the one that is undermining democracy. We need every legal vote counted. And that's what we're trying to do. And there's a whole bunch of discrepancies with the counting of votes. Clearly in Nevada, we have a problem with a machine that is counting votes and matching signatures. And the problem that we have is that the bureaucrats in Clark County lowered the factory settings on the machine for matches on signatures. And we've already seen some problems with those signatures. We are asking, and we've gone to court to say that the machine that's doing this artificial intelligence matching is not good enough because they lowered the factory settings. And all of these need to be done by a human being. That's the lawsuit that we have currently. And I think that this is going to help people have a greater faith in the system. And clearly, transparency is not political. It's a good thing for the public to have.
And, Rick, this is Jay. Let me ask you this. You mentioned this situation with machines where they calibrated differently. What did the other count? Do we know if the other counties did that, or was this unique to Clark?
It's unique to Clark in Nevada, but other counties have actually used this machine, and they lowered the factory settings as well, but not as much as Clark County. Clark County lowered the factory settings in a very serious way. By the way, this is not in dispute. Clark County officials testified that they were going to do this in Nevada before the election, and many Republicans in the county raised red flags early on and said, this is not right. You're abusing the factory settings, the recommendations from the experts on this machine. And they testified openly that they were going to do it anyway. We have affidavits from multiple people who are artificial intelligence experts who have said when you lower the factory settings, it's a real problem. You need experts to figure out how to tinker with the machine in order to get it so that it does accurately reflect. These bureaucrats don't know how to do that, and they didn't have any experts helping them.
So really quick, Rick, are court action going to be taking place? When's it going to be filed?
It's already filed, and now we're waiting, and the Democrats have responded.
Okay, great. Very good.
All right, so Rick is going to be joining us in the next segment as well. We're going to talk to him about kind of what you can do, the grassroots action as well, which we're seeing across the country. And I know he's been responsible for organizing a lot of that as well and overseeing a lot of that. So we'll talk to Rick about that because a lot of people are asking it, what can I do now? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Share this with your friends and family. By the way, a new Bald Beagle up. If you go to baldbeagle.com, this is on Veterans Day. Veterans Day is tomorrow. So it's a great video for you to watch with your kids about the importance of Veterans Day and support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. So we now learn from Rick Rennell, our special advisor is out there also for the RNC. He's been all across the country and especially in Nevada since Election Day. But we've learned that a new lawsuit there filed in Nevada because of the way the machines, the signature matching machines, were turned down so low below factory settings so that basically everything would go through as a match. And, you know, this is important because that's part of the signature matching. So to go below the factory settings is absurd. So that legal challenge has been filed. So you can add that to the legal challenges. I want to go right back to Rick. Rick, where are you now in the country? You're still traveling on these efforts? Are you still in Nevada? Where are you now?
So I'm still traveling, trying to make sure that we have enough money for the legal recount and overseeing Nevada and the county. And one thing that I want to make clear, Jordan, this machine that we're talking about is also used in Maricopa County. And the factory settings that Maricopa used were not as low as Clark County. So in Arizona, they didn't lower it as much as they did in Nevada, but they still lowered it and are not utilizing the factory settings. We estimate that in Clark County alone, 600,000 ballots went through this machine, matching and getting rid of signatures that weren't accurate. So when all said and done, 200,000 ballots, one third of the 600,000, we are very concerned about, and we want to see a human being go through those, and that's part of what we're asking the courts.
Yeah, people, Rick, are asking, a lot of people too, they're not in our positions, they're not on the Trump legal team, they don't work for the RNC like you and you, but they want to do something. Now, you just talked about one thing they can do, which is support the right legal recount efforts. I know people are getting lots of texts, they're getting them about the Georgia runoff, and I encourage people, I know it's a matching challenge for the ACLJ, but if you care about the makeup of the U.S. Senate, you can donate to the NRSC, you can donate to Loeffler, you can donate to Purdue. They're both having to basically rerun campaigns in 6 weeks. But also, Rick, there is a way to donate to these recount funds. That's available too, and it's important to the work. It's to keep people like you there and the attorneys there working. That is one way people can help with their pocketbooks.
Yeah, look, it's such a good point, and I would say this, because I know some people are not in the position to give, and so I think amplifying all of the concerns that we have on social media or with friends is a really important way. You're being a very strategic partner by doing that. I would suggest going to, on Twitter and Instagram, the Nevada GOP, which is NVGOP. Go there and look at what's being pushed out and share that. But if you are in a position to financially help, you can help through the RNC or ACLJ, which are both doing great legal work. All of this legal work needs to be done. The challenges need to be made. It's expensive to hire these lawyers, but we have to be able to do it. And there's so many races where officials are counting ballots. Some Republicans are up and watching their lead tick away. And some are there who need to fight so that they can be the ones that tick up. And so whether or not you are in a state like California, for instance, where the statewide ballots are not in question, there are a lot of local races. So I would just say get involved,
yeah.
Amplify the concerns, and all hands on deck right now.
Yeah, I mean, we have this question coming in from Becky and from Laurie in California. Online four, I think it's a great question that we have Rick on. Hey, Laurie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you so much for taking my call. Just as I turned your program on, I heard the woman ask the question I called you about, was what can we do?
Yeah.
And my question to you is in regards to your answer, why isn't there more that we can do other than just pray, which we're doing anyway, sure. Why isn't there anything more that we can do?
Well, Rick, I mean, there's two things. It depends on where you are in the country. And like you said, there may be local races, Laurie, in California where you need to be involved with the state party and local party and recount efforts. Are we going to be at a point, Rick, and we saw this during the Bush versus Gore years, where people were traveling from state to state to volunteer to help oversee recounts, to basically be the observers of recounts. And that may be a potential for some of our listeners right now who want to do more than just financially support or pray or work locally, but get involved, is that if we get to that point, their assistance may be necessary.
Yeah, volunteering on the recounts is extremely important. They'll need that, just like we needed volunteers on Election Day. But let me say this, I totally sympathize with the frustration.
Yes.
What else can we do? We need to do more. Why can't I put my finger on exactly what the solution is? And I think that's a very real frustration. We all have that. But let me just reiterate, praying is incredibly important, and it's incredibly helpful right now. Giving your voice to those concerns that the legal team has and the discrepancies, very important and very crucial. So don't minimize your amplification on social media and talking about these issues so that there's comfort in the group and you encourage a whole bunch of other people to speak out. And then if you can financially, those are to give. And those are three ways that are super helpful. I don't think that there is one magic bullet solution. If there was, we would do it. But together, when we're all looking at what are the things that we can do, and everybody has different talents, I think those three things are incredibly important, and don't minimize their impact.
Yeah, exactly. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I think this is an interesting one too. Becky in Washington State on line three. I want to answer this question for you, Becky, because I think a lot of people have this question. You're on the air.
Thank you. Yeah, I just know that with Washington State, most folks have pretty much washed us as a lost cause. But I'm telling you, the people here, I rode with people on the train that were Democrat, and they all did not want certain people in office, and they're forced into office on us, even if the count, I mean, the counts just are skewed. And I've heard from people who worked, you know, in various places who said that there was, they knew they were illegal citizens because they're broken English. Yeah. And they said,
here's what we need. We know, Becky, that moving forward, we need voter ID in every state. This mail-in ballot, this attempt at mail-in balloting without really preparing for it, led to what I believe is just a massive amount of fraud, confusion. Even good faith poll workers, Rick, had no idea what to be doing with all these ballots. I mean, they were flooding in. This wasn't the norm. This wasn't how they were used to counting ballots. And so even states that had gone very electronic, then they've got all these mail-in ballots that came in. They were not prepared for it. The Postal Service wasn't prepared for it. And now we're starting to see the litigation that comes from it. I understand people's frustration. I think it has to be twofold. One, looking forward. And one, looking forward is pressing for real change in getting a more uniform, even though it's up to the states, a more uniform way of how we elect our president. And then two, is we understand this mail-in ballot that we tried did not work. It's led to a ton of problems. It's why we're in court right now. It's one of the main reasons is the mail-in ballots. We're just fraught with potential problems. And then third is, again, not giving up. Like you said, Rick, we are all still working on this because we see a path for President Trump's victory. As the president has said, the team has made clear, as so long as we see that path and we still have time, we will keep fighting.
Yeah, let me respond, first of all, to the last caller. I think Washington State was pretty exciting this year because I sensed the frustration of people, and I think the numbers are just beginning to turn around there. We've got a ways to go, but I think Washington State needs to have some concentration and energy in the future because there have been people that are frustrated. I will also say to the caller that first-generation Americans are some of the loudest supporters of President Trump and conservatives, and so don't dismiss the fact that many minorities have turned around and are supporting President Trump. They understand what fascism is about more than Americans that have been here for a long time. And then lastly, I will just add that the frustration that we've seen from the mail-in ballots, remember that this was all done 30 to 60 days before the election. Massive mail-outs of ballots for people that had not requested these ballots, had no idea that the ballots were coming. And those ballots, I can tell you specifically in Nevada, were not checked against accurate, up-to-date voter rolls. There were way too many people that lived out of state that we found dead people that voted. These are just the facts. They want to dismiss this as not systematic. But I think what is systematic and what is problematic is massive mail-out ballots to lists that are old and inaccurate. And they did that so that there would be a whole bunch of ballots laying around. And that's when we have problems. We absolutely need a voter ID in the future, national voter ID. Most Americans think, of course, you should have a
voter ID. Yeah, makes sense. And most countries around the world have that. Rick, thank you. Keep it up in Nevada. We'll talk to you later this week. Folks, support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. It's a matching challenge month. Double your impact. aclj.org. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Back to Jay Sekulow Live. Let's recap a little bit. So we've got the legal challenges. We know of a new legal challenge filed in Nevada because the voting machines and that they went way below the factory settings on matching the actual the signatures, and that could impact about a third of 600,000 votes. So we're talking about a significant. I mean, that's enough votes where it's outcome determinative in Nevada, where it's still Biden has a bigger lead. But if you're talking about a third, 200,000 votes wrongly counted, and if those were mostly Biden or even 80%, well, then suddenly, or 70%, suddenly you have a different winner in Nevada. So that lawsuit has been filed. Remember how my dad said this all needs to kind of, you got a Pennsylvania's got to match up with some other states as well. So you got Rick Rennell fighting in Nevada. We see the fighting in Arizona, of course. But we've also got questions about the Senate seats as well. And this is the first day we hear from Justice Amy Coney Barrett on the Supreme Court. Now, the Supreme Court is still doing their oral arguments by phone. So even her first and second questions are a little different than usual because they're going in, because it's done by literally conference call, not by Zoom, by conference call. The Chief Justice just kind of goes in order. So it's not like they're jumping in with questions the same way they usually would if this was being held in the courtroom at the U.S. Supreme Court. So we have that going on today. That's specific to the individual mandate. Is it unconstitutional? Question one. And question two, if it is the whole Affordable Care Act unconstitutional or is it severable? Can you keep the Affordable Care Act? Kind of like what we're dealing with now. I still believe, as I have for the years the Affordable Care Act has been in place, that if the individual mandate falls, there is no Affordable Care Act. There is no Obamacare. It has really been Trump Care that has been keeping this even afloat while the individual mandate was zeroed out. So we'll play some of that. But I do want to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. And I want to go talking about the Senate races in Georgia. Pat in Colorado. Pat, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hello, Jordan. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate all that you are doing and support you highly. My question is, since we all know that the Democrats have a whole lot to gain by that runoff Senate seat in Georgia, what checks and balances are put in place? How do we know that that one's going to be on the up and up since we had so much fraud in the main election?
Yeah.
What's to keep that one in line?
Well, we haven't had a ton of allegations of fraud yet in Georgia, just to be honest with you, from the legal team. There is a lot of people looking at one county or two counties in particular, Fulton County, where Atlanta is, DeKalb County, right outside of Atlanta, two heavily Democrat counties. They are looking at issues there with irregularities. But this is still a red state in the sense that the state government is run by Republican stand. So their Secretary of State, Georgia's Secretary of State, the Attorney General, the Governor, it's really, and their legislature, and even, you know, their Lieutenant Governor, these are all Republicans. It is really up to them to put together a free and fair runoff election.
100%, Jordan. And we also have to remember that, I mean, even though the 12,000 vote margin in Georgia is very, very narrow in the presidential race, it actually requires way fewer votes than that in a recount to be changed for Senator Perdue to not have to go to that runoff on January 5th. I mean, he currently has 49.73% of the vote in Georgia. And if he got over 50, it would push him out of that runoff and into the United States Senate. So look, as you pursue election integrity across the country, it's not just about whether or not it would impact the presidential race. You also have down ballot races that could be adjusted. And just one other state I'd point out in this vein, Georgia, Jordan, North Carolina, that margin for Tom Tillis is currently 95,000 votes. That is currently bigger than the states that have been called in the presidential race in Nevada, Arizona, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. And yet the major networks refuse to call that race. If you don't think that is an example of looking at states differently depending on which party is ahead, I don't know what is.
Folks, we continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. I want to go, is Andy still in the studio with you, Thad? I want to go to Andy.
Yes, because
Georgia is going to be the key to the U.S. Senate. Their state government, Republican-led, it's the smallest margin that Biden has. There's a recount there going on. They're going to have to be dealing with a lot. They got a presidential recount going on. They've got a very thin margin for Joe Biden there. And then they've got two U.S. Senate races in runoffs, which is unprecedented. And those two Senate races will determine who is in charge of the U.S. Senate and the balance of power in the executive branch, well, in the legislative branch.
That's right, Jordan. There, and please remember, the last caller said the Senate race runoff in Georgia. There are two Senate runoffs in Georgia, not one. Two Senate runoffs in Georgia. One with David Perdue running against a communist, Marxist, John Ossoff, a young man who calls himself a media executive, never had a job in his life, never has done anything, but has forced his way up to the top by being pushed up through the Democratic elite organization. So Senator Perdue is facing that. He has very, very slim margin. The recount, which is going to take place in Georgia, may even push Senator Perdue into 50% plus one. Right. I don't know. That's one race. The other one, we have a Reverend Warnock, who is a minister in one of the Baptist churches in Atlanta, running against Kelly Loeffler, who's the incumbent senator that was appointed to take Senator Isaacson's place. This is her first election. She is leading in the runoff tabulations, but didn't get 50% of the vote. So it's very important. And I think at this point, the Republicans will have poll watchers very carefully looking at the balance. There's got to be strictures. And by the way, in Georgia, there is absentee balloting for the runoff of these two elections, but no mail-in ballots.
Right.
No mail-in ballots. You've got to be there.
I guess you'd probably have to request an absentee ballot like right now because
that's exactly right.
6 weeks out. So right now, so you can do an absentee ballot in Georgia, which is normal practice, but no mail-in ballots. I want to play this. It'll probably finish out the show today because I know people are interested to hear, and that's all you're going to see right now. Of course, you don't see video of the U.S. Supreme Court, but they are doing audio right now because they're doing the Supreme Court via conference call. Here's a second question from Justice Amy Coney Barrett. So many of you fought to get her confirmed, and now you understand the importance of why that confirmation was so key, getting it done before the election. Could you imagine if they were trying to do that in the middle of this? No, that's why it was key to do it now. She had another question. Let's get to it.
Let me ask you another question that's related to some of the hypotheticals you've heard so far. You know, the chief asked you about a mandate to mow the lawn, and you know, Justice Thomas asked you one about forcing people to wear a mask. What if, in this case, you know, and as I understand it to be the case, you have to certify whether you've complied or not, and then the government keeps track of that. So the government keeps track of whether you wore a mask or whether you purchased health insurance. Does that change your view of whether there's an injury?
Well, I'm not sure that there is an ongoing certification requirement, at least in the tax forms, Your Honor. Perhaps that would change the analysis. But if we get to the merits, then I think that it's plain that this is not an operative provision and there is no ongoing command. So even if that would establish standing, it wouldn't be enough to allow the individuals to prevail on the merits.
Yeah, so again, I just want you to hear that from Justice Barrett and also pick up on, she's talking about mask mandates. So that's very real now because Joe Biden has said that's one of the things he wants to do is a nationwide mask mandate, working with states, and states that don't do it will be penalized and this and that, and how do they get to that? And we can explain all that, but you know, he's not yet president of the United States, but they're already talking about that in the Supreme Court. Now, we'll do more analysis of the Affordable Care Act case tomorrow. So
at the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.